Saturday here tonight for kind of a special one-off edition of Pro Wrestling Obsession Live. And you've got tonight your co-hosts that are going to be bringing our first live debut here in a couple weeks. We have the Chris Brothers, the Irish Airborne, Dave and Jake will be joining us here in just a couple short weeks. But until then, tonight, we've just got a little special preview here, try to get us going here as we get ready to get set for our debut here in a couple weeks. I am the Prophet Rick Craig. And I've got my special co-host with me tonight, Sean Blitz Forrester. How are you doing tonight, Sean?
Doing good. Doing good.
Excellent. Let's get your introduction tonight. You ready?
All right.
Enough of that. Sean, we ready to rock and roll for some wrestling talk tonight?
You better believe it.
All right, we've got guests tonight, Big Vito LaGrasso from WCW fame, ECW fame, WWF fame, and even some TNA fame. Let's see if we can get a hold of him, Sean, see if we can get him live here right now.
All right.
We'll have to try again here in a few minutes. Looks like Big Vito not ready yet. I know he does have a training session that he's doing down in Florida tonight, so he said he would hopefully be available for a phone call, but if not, then he's not. So
all good.
Before we get going here, Blitz, why don't you tell me a little bit about your thoughts on Raw?
It was nothing to write home. Except for this very end.
Care to elaborate?
Let me refresh myself. It was
so while you refresh yourself, let's before you refresh yourself,
right.
Go slap on some water, go get your manly stuff on your face, smack yourself around a little bit, and then get ready to get going. Until then, let's do our plugs for the night, because PWO Live is brought to you by Pro Wrestling Powerhouse and the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. You can catch them at www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can also catch them on their website, www.prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. And if you would like to follow them on the Twitter, it'll be www.twitter.com/PW Powerhouse. You can also catch myself and the Blitz on PWO, Pro Wrestling Obsession Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Obsession. All right, Sean, did you get yourself freshened up?
Yep.
All right, let's rock here. What are you thinking here, bud?
Raw was doomed from the start. What looked like a big ticket match between Randy Orton and Shane McMahon, he means to take on the Big Show, fell flat.
How so? Why did you feel that way?
It was same old Randy Orton match, same old Shane match, same old Big Show match, and it just didn't add anything to the whole feud.
Well, I'm going to say it wasn't the same old Randy Orton match because he was cheerleading out there, and you never see Randy Orton leading cheers very often. But other than that, I guess I do kind of see your point.
So, I really, that's one match I'd rather forget about.
Okay. What'd you think about the United States title change? And Antonio Cesaro finally drops the U.S. belt, but Kofi Kingston is your new champion, but he is not American. He was born in, Guyana is where he's from?
Ghana.
Oh, Ghana is where he's from, excuse me. Ghana is where Kofi's from. So technically Antonio did not lose to an American, so we have to see how that one plays out. But what'd you think of that? That was kind of surprising to me.
Well, for one, Guyana is Ezekiel Jackson.
Yes.
And
I got them mixed up, sorry.
I can pretty much guarantee you that one, it's about time. I love him. I love Cesaro. But WWE has done absolutely nothing with him. And the same goes for Kofi, which really makes the U.S. title look bad. But I can pretty much guarantee that we're going to see a few more Kingston-Cesaro matches. And when all is said and done, I can guarantee, and I mark my words, Jack Swagger will be going after Kofi Kingston.
So you don't see Cesaro regaining the title?
No. Not unless it comes with a face turn.
And we know that's not happening probably anytime soon unless Kofi turns heel.
Which could very well happen.
But why you've been, okay, let's preface things a little bit here. You have been on record with me as we've been yapping back and forth, talking about the attributes of Kofi Kingston. You have gone and told me that Kofi Kingston is deserving of a major push and that he would be turning heel and that he would be seeing big things in the year 2013. Do you
Correct.
Still stand by that?
Only if Kofi...
No, only if. Do you still stand by it or not?
Yes.
Okay, you stand by it. I still think he's a transitional champion. He always has been, whether it be for the tag team championships, whether it be for the IC or U.S. belts, it doesn't matter. Kofi wins the belt and loses it in a couple weeks when they are ready for somebody else to finally take over for a long period of time. Unless they do something drastic to his character, and I just don't see it. I'm not seeing any inclinations to make me believe that there's been any kind of change to his character or any kind of heelish tendencies or anything that's you know, starting to reach the surface. I just don't see it. I still think he's just a transitional guy, and he's a good transitional guy, but he's never been given a solid push.
Which is where this comes in. Because, look how CM Punk, with his long WWE title reign, was able to transition in midstream from face to heel. Kofi can do the very same thing and WWE Creative should book this because there is only room for one happy-go-lucky face in the main event, and we all know who that is.
So, where do you think we're going with Kofi?
Hopefully, we're going to see the double turn that should have happened with Miz. Because back when Miz offered a handshake and Kofi hit his head, that should have been the point where they turned Kofi heel. But for whatever reason, WWE decided not to do it.
And they looked like for a minute they might have been doing it because Kofi seemed a little more aggressive than normal. He was starting to have his voice heard a little bit more, and he seemed like he was a little bit more frustrated than usual. So you're right in that assessment, because I think if they were going to do it, that was the time to do it. And I was actually thinking in the back of my mind, oh, my gosh, Blitz Forrester is going to be right, and I'm going to hear this for the next 3 months. But, as usual, the Prophet is right, and the Blitz is not, and you were left holding the bag again. So here we are again. Kofi's got the belt. Come on, go out on a record here, Blitz. Tell me what you think is going to happen so that we can have it live in front of the entire world to hear, so that we can harass you at a later point when you're wrong again.
There are two outcomes, the first being if Kofi does turn heel. If he does turn heel, it will be with an Antonio Cesaro face turn.
Now, where do you feel Antonio Cesaro face turn is going to happen in all of this?
Have you noticed the yodeling lately?
Yes. Have you noticed how annoying it is and he gets booed for it?
Fair point. But that lightheartedness in the yodeling can be the beginning of the turn. And let's be honest, when he picked up Brodus Clay for the neutralizer, the crowd was cheering. Every time Cesaro does something, some big athletic feat, the crowd likes it, even though they're booing him to infinity.
Yes, but we also have to keep in mind that as we continue to go on in the year 2013, every show seems to possess more and more cheers for heels. And that line between the fan favorite and the dirty, dastardly heel is blurring. So
which
I don't know if that means anything.
Well, it's been like that for almost 25 freaking years.
Well, I think it's amplified more than ever. It just seems like, I mean, John Cena, you never have a, you and I argue about this all the time. You weren't around to know it then, so you're going to have to take my word for it. When Hulk Hogan was at the height of his glory days, you didn't hear boos even remotely what you hear right now with John Cena. You had me booing when I was at several of his events, but I was in the very vast minority there. Cena, it's not overwhelming, but it's starting to get over the halfway point now to where he's getting booed more than he's being cheered, and Punk is getting cheered more than he's being booed. I think the lines are becoming, I don't think people care about fan favorites and bad guys anymore. They want to cheer whoever they like, and it's becoming even more so than it's ever been, regardless of the Attitude era, and we know how that went. But still, there were good guys and bad guys. I don't know so much anymore.
All the TV events were taped. So if there was booing for Hogan, which you have admitted you did, those boos would have been edited out because they wouldn't want the fans at home to hear it.
Well, that is a good point. However, I was at live events. Unless my arena was the only arena in the country who didn't do this, I booed my head off, and I was probably one of 10 in the whole building. I mean, it was not even close. I mean, and I have a hard time believing that it would be any different anywhere else. So I just think it's a different era. I mean,
different
attitude. And the dynamic has totally changed. You know, Hulk Hogan was the American hero. John Cena's seen more as a boring character that needs a facelift.
Exactly.
But all right, let's call timeout a second again, Blitz. Let's call timeout. Let's see if we're going to try Vito again. I'll see if we can get him, okay?
All right.
Certainly would love to talk to him if we're able to get to him. Big Vito, answer the phone. Well, it looks like we've got another strike out here, Sean.
Go.
All right, so let's continue the conversation then until our next guest. We've got Big Daddy Magic coming on here in a little bit, hopefully. We'll get to talk some wrestling with him. He's got a big event coming up in Paterson, New Jersey next Friday night where he's going to be taking on Jason Knight for the World Wrestling Organization Heavyweight Championship of the World. And we certainly would like to get his thoughts on that. So hopefully we'll hear from him here in a few minutes. Until then, until he calls in and gives us the ring, Sean, what's next? We still talking about Kofi, right?
No, we have not.
Are you done with Kofi?
We're done with Kofi.
All right.
Ah, yes. The world title match that didn't happen. Del Rio wanted a rematch. And before the match started, Swagger and Coulter came out, had their say. And Del Rio gets beat up.
Obviously, you cry foul again, correct?
I yawned at it.
You yawn at everything, Sean. What else is new?
Not everything.
You yawn and you scratch your beard and stuff like that. So, all right, let's hear your thoughts. What irked you about this particular segment and supposed match that did not happen?
Well, for one, I'm not a fan of matches that it's going to happen. And right as they ring the bell, it gets thrown out because something happened. Personally, I was looking forward to the rematch. That way Del Rio loses. Del Rio is out of the area for right now. New challenger. Let's do this.
But
it didn't happen that way.
So Jack Swagger came in, took him out, and we end up getting a Swagger versus Dolph Ziggler match later in the evening, which, to be honest with you, I was looking forward to, well, not looking forward to it for this show because I wasn't expecting it to happen on the show, but I've been looking forward to the confrontation between Swagger and Ziggler and seeing if they'd, you know,
yep,
face off at a time. And I, when I heard the match being determined by Teddy and it wasn't a tag team match, and for one, I jumped in the air because it wasn't a tag team match. And for number two, just
true,
having Swagger going against Ziggler, you know, that got the juices flowing a lot more than Del Rio versus Ziggler. And I think we got a pretty decent match out of it, in my opinion.
And it's one of the rare times where we got a heel versus heel match that was
correct,
actually entertaining.
So all in all, you, how can you yawn?
A good choice.
When you got something better out of it than what was advertised.
I yawned at the original thing because I'm sorry, but Del Rio still puts me to sleep. Even as a face, he may be more entertaining, but it still puts me to sleep. I'm just not
if
a fan
have,
of
if
him.
If he didn't have Ricardo, do you think he'd still be around?
Maybe, maybe not. Who knows? I don't, and neither do you.
Profit.
But I do want to make note here that it was a good match. Swagger-Ziggler was a good match. But
were you shocked? Were you shocked with the outcome?
No.
You were not, okay.
By this time, I'd already seen Kofi lose the belt, and we'll talk about this in a second, the Intercontinental Champion losing a non-title match. So I was not surprised. It just seems.
But they usually don't weaken them, make them look weak that fast after getting their very first match after getting a belt and you lose already. I mean, that's a slap in Ziggler's face. Isn't it?
It is, but you shouldn't
okay,
be surprised.
Okay, but you weren't surprised by it at all, huh?
Because look how much Ziggler had been losing before the win in the belt. There's just so many losses, it's like, well, let's put the belt on and let's have him lose again. Which means Extreme Rules will more than likely be a triple threat match for the world title.
That's a very distinct possibility. That thought did run through my decrepit brain as well. All the way back in the cobwebs. I was thinking triple threat match.
Yes, the little spider finally did something.
Right.
And since we're on the subject of champions that lost their matches, Wade Barrett versus R-Truth. We talk about Kofi being the mid-card champion that is just there. R-Truth is the same way.
But R-Truth doesn't win it.
Exactly.
Kofi wins.
Exactly.
R-Truth is just there and puts a good challenge and doesn't get over.
Now, here's what I'm having a problem with. We know that R-Truth is going to get a title shot down the road. But if you watched Main Event Wednesday night,
which I apologize, I have not seen hardly anything. I've been on vacation this week and have missed a lot of wrestling, and I have not watched TNA either, so I'm at a major disadvantage tonight.
Trust me, you didn't miss much. Regarding TNA, you didn't miss much.
Okay. Well, we'll avoid that then. Let's get back to Main Event. What happened on Main Event, because I don't plan on watching it.
There was a battle royal for number one spot for the Intercontinental title, which was won by none other than Cape Town Werewolf, Justin Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And he put on a good match was put on with Wade Barrett. Barrett won. Won the title match. But
against Gabriel.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Justin Gabriel get a shot.
Now, this is why I'm going to say no. Because a couple weeks ago on NXT, Gabriel actually lost on NXT to Leo Kruger. Flat out got pinned by him. I just don't see.
Was that a good match?
It was a good match, yeah. I'm not going to argue it wasn't a good match. Did you see it?
I haven't. But,
well, Leo Kruger was impressive. He is somebody you and I have been talking about. They're both South Africans, but then they're rivals. but they're on NXT. I thought for sure the WWE star, superstar, Gabriel, would go over the, you know, the younger guy on their show just to show the difference between a WWE star and an NXT star, but it didn't happen that way. Kruger beat him cleanly. So how can we be justified as seeing Justin Gabriel defeat or even be in a match with Wade Barrett when he can't even pick up a victory over the NXT guy?
Well, look at D.D. Langston.
I'm waiting.
D.D. Langston is on the main roster. Therefore, by your logic, he shouldn't lose the title to anyone. He should just vacate it. By the very same logic that you're using to say that Justin Gabriel should have beaten Bill Clinton.
Now, where did I ever say he should vacate the title?
Well,
just because he's on the main roster, he should, if he's got that belt, then he shouldn't be losing to anybody that isn't going up to the WWE very, very soon.
Right.
If he were to lose an NXT title, it should be to somebody who's about to be called up and needs to make a big splash.
Which I'm hoping, and this is just my prediction here, I'm hoping that it's Conan O'Brien.
Okay, but now we're getting way off a track here. Let's get back to main event. Let's get back to Gabriel. So you still think Gabriel's going to get in on this match somehow? Okay, let's say he does. He has no prayer. So back to Wade Barrett and R-Truth. R-Truth doesn't seem to win. Like I said, he's an outstanding wrestler. I like R-Truth. I even like his gimmick. I think the little Jimmy thing's hilarious. But that is putting him in Santino Marella territory to where he's not going to be seen as a viable threat or champion very long, which would make him transitional. But he actually doesn't, unlike Kofi wins the belt and has some semblance of credibility being a champion because he's been a champion, a multiple champion, you know, a lot. So R-Truth, tag team champion, maybe, you know, that's about it in the last few years. Why do we think R-Truth has a legitimate chance of beating Wade Barrett?
I don't. I don't like
it.
I just simply have no reason. After R-Truth got suspended back in November 2011.
That was his big chance.
Right. After
did you feel something was going to happen then? I kind of felt something then. And then he got in trouble with the Evan Bourne syndrome.
Right. He got in trouble with the synthetic weed.
Right.
The real weed, just a fine slap on the wrist. Or else Rob Van Dam would not be welcome.
Correct.
Just saying. But I've never seen R-Truth as a champion. Even in TNA, I did not see him as a champion.
You didn't see him as a champion as in you didn't think he was championship material, or you didn't see him as a champion and you just don't remember any of his reigns?
I didn't see him as world champion material.
Okay.
It's just, maybe it's because I remember the very first round, and it was basically the same gimmick that he's running now, minus Lil Jimmy. When he started out with Road Dogg as K Quick.
Right.
This is all the way back in 1999, 2000, somewhere along in there. And don't get me wrong, like I say, he's a good in-ring competitor, good in-ring talent, puts on a good match with most people, but he just does not have that intangible of being a champion.
So So if it's not our truth, then where is Wade Barrett going from here? Is The Miz getting right back into the picture? Since he, obviously, he has his rematch clause, or so you would think. Are we not done with Barrett and Miz?
I was hoping that we'd get to see a resolution to Wade Barrett, Bo Dallas.
Yeah, that kind of got dropped off the planet with you know, no recourse of what was going on at all. Bo Dallas went after him for 2 weeks, and then he's gone. You see him in a back room. You see him in the back room every now and then, you know, lacing up boots or something like that while another segment's going on, and that's about it. He must be in dark matches or something because
right.
they dropped it quickly, didn't they? And without any reasoning.
Maybe he just, it's very possible he just did not come across well. On actual TV, he just didn't come across well. But that's not an excuse at this point because NXT, the main NXT is on TV.
Which my thought was, if they weren't ready to continue with him, then let Barrett beat the living daylights out of him and send him back down again.
Right.
Until he was truly ready to go. So we're
and
in agreement there.
I mean, much like any story, you got to have a beginning, middle, and end.
It felt very TNA-ish to me.
No, TNA at least finishes.
They do not. They have the last year. They've gotten a lot better since they started the Aces and Eights, since they started that ridiculous Claire Lynch storyline, which I despise with passion, but I applauded, and you'll recall I applauded TNA for at least giving us the story, developing it, albeit poorly, and finishing it. TNA, before then, was known for starting something and then completely forget about it a week later. And then
right.
you have no resolution to it or any understanding of why it,
right.
you know, didn't happen. The next week, all of a sudden, the guys are tag teaming and they're buddies, and you just don't understand anything they do.
Exactly.
Now they've got some direction,
Mojo
which is
Magnus.
Promising.
Samoa Joe and Magnus is the prime example. They never finished that.
Right.
And look at that, they're buddy-buddy again. Well, as buddy-buddy as anybody can get with Samoa Joe.
So let's get back to Bo Dallas then. I don't think we're going to get our resolution to that right now.
I hope we're not. Unfortunately, I think compared to his brother who wrestles as Bray Wyatt, Bo stinks.
Are you surprised that Bo got called up before Bray Wyatt did?
No.
Because you've compared Bray Wyatt to a younger Waylon Mercy kind of character with his Wyatt family down in NXT. Right?
Had he not gotten injured, I think he would have been the one called up.
That's why he's been more of a managerial role lately, is because of that.
Correct. And he could fill that role. I could see him filling that role of manager just as well as Heyman. Well, not just as well as Heyman. But say someone like Zeb Coulter, he could pull the same kind of character.
I agree. I do agree. I can see Bray Wyatt doing that as well.
But lately, the Shield has been a very good call-up. All three of them. But, and I'm going to go on record for this.
You always do, Sean. Said you're always going on record when you're around me, buddy. You know that.
Right. But the Shield is losing money. The Undertaker is present, and I just cannot see the Shield winning with Undertaker around.
Which is another confusing storyline for me, too, because, you know, we all thought Undertaker would go back into hibernation again after WrestleMania, and here he is out there, you know, getting the Shield harassing him. I was kind of surprised by seeing Taker kind of getting involved with something else again. Were you kind of surprised by that?
I was surprised, but at the same time, I see why. Because CM Punk appears to be taking time off at this point.
Right.
That leaves a huge hole. So we get some Undertaker appearances. Maybe the crowd gets a little less restless. They forget what Punk did. That
he's filling a void. Right? Filling a void?
Pretty much. Which, trying to forget that match.
Do you know how easily sidetracked we get from our original topic?
Yes. Not going to show up on Raw Monday for that.
I'm sorry, oh. Sean. It was better than your attempts at it, so hush. Anyway, yeah. Fandango
got
on Raw.
It got ruined.
Well, it didn't go off the way I was thinking. I was really surprised that he was even going to want to interact with a fan. Well, what was your opinion of that segment?
Well, when he told the fans to go Fandango themselves,
yes.
I got a good chuckle out of it.
I did too.
I'm a big fan.
But did it not look like to you, Sean, when we were looking at Fandango's face, when they were all humming along to the entrance music, and you just see just a little smirk of a smile on his face, like he was loving it. You know what?
But what killed it, and this is what killed it for me, the presence of Jerry Lawler.
Yes, that did ruin it, didn't it?
Because it's almost like they're trying to push it, trying to shove it down the fans' throats, like touting
right.
In the WWE. Yeah.
It's
going to
be
the
WWE's version of Tebowing.
Right.
Fandangoing.
Which, if you haven't seen Maria do it, you need to.
Tebow or Fandango?
The Fandango.
Okay.
It's very nice to watch.
Well, she's nice to watch even if she's not fandangoing, but that's another completely different topic. All right. Obviously, fans of PWO Live, it doesn't appear that we're going to get either one of our guests tonight, and I apologize for that. This was a special one-off edition to just for these two individuals, so I feel a little bit let down that we weren't able to talk to him tonight, but Sean and I will survive, and we will press on. Sean, let's completely get off of Raw now because I'm tired of it. Let's have an old school topic tonight. This is going to be something that the listeners were going to be engaged in here, because I want live talk. I want interaction. I want people to get into it and have opinions. So we'll kind of give a little, I guess, a preview of what we're doing. We're going to have an old school segment where we bring up a topic of something that maybe happened or something that occurred years ago, I'd say probably before the year 2000, and get our take on something. And today's take is going to be on the total package Lex Luger, one of your favorite topics, Sean. Now, the topic with Lex Luger today is, obviously, whether you like the man or not, he had a mythical following when he was in the independent scene down in Florida and Georgia areas. Got to the NWA, WCW, and what I would say is a very successful run. But then he got to Titanland. He became a narcissist. He became another All-American type boy. What happened to Lex Luger? What derailed the Lex Express in the WWF, Sean? Why didn't he turn into this huge monstrous star?
I have three main guesses as to what happened.
Number one.
The first one being the fans had gotten over Hulk Hogan. They were trying to turn Lex into the next Hulk Hogan.
Well, they weren't if they started him off as a narcissist. Was that the first problem?
No.
Not using his name?
Going from the narcissist to the Lex Express.
Well, hang on, Sean. You've got topics. I understand you've got points to make, but I think we're jumping the gun here. Why didn't they bring him in initially as something a lot bigger than a stupid narcissist gimmick and calling him the narcissist and not using his Lex Luger name and all that? It's like they were setting him up for failure. I mean, for fans who aren't aware of this, Lex, when his contract expired with the NWA at the time, went to the WWE, but he had a no-compete clause for a while, and he ended up signing with the World Bodybuilding Federation, which was Vince's pet peeve side project. Well, that never really took off, and it went under, and then Lex ended up in the WWF as the narcissist managed by Bobby the Brain Heenan. I guess my question, Sean, before you get to your other points, let's address this and let's get this out in the open here. Why did he even come in as the narcissist? He was Lex Luger in the WBF. Why didn't they bring him in as Lex Luger and build him from the very beginning instead of making him a heel, a no-name heel with a gimmicky name that wasn't going to go very far?
I have no clue. I really wish I knew why. It would have made a lot more sense to take advantage of the name.
It's almost like the WWF during those days. If you were a star and had a built name, like a Dusty Rhodes, you know, somebody of that magnitude, and I'm going to say this with pretty much anybody I can think of except for Ric Flair. If you were a big name that Vince did not create, you got humbled before you could do anything in his eyes.
Yeah,
I mean, look at the Road Warriors. The Road Warriors should have came in there and annihilated Demolition and every team in their path. That didn't happen. They were the Legion of Doom. They came in and they took forever before anything happened. But let's get back to Luger, because I'm getting way off track again.
Right.
I think there's a humbling involved, at least back in that day. But now let's get to your points.
It still is. But I do want to talk for 1 minute about, you're talking about how they didn't do that with Hogan. But if you look at Hogan's heel time before turning to Hulkamania, He was a narcissist. Very much so. I found a video of him taunting Tony Atlas.
But they called him Hulk Hogan. They didn't call him the narcissist. That's a very forgettable name. It's hard to say for kids. You know?
The name, no counting for taste.
Right. All right, let's get to your points, Sean. I've been dying to hear them, and I apologize for interrupting you, but I had to make my, I guess, my point about the narcissist before we even got to the Lex Express and why he didn't even, you know, come in guns a-blazing. So obviously he didn't come in guns a-blazing. He started off as a stupid narcissist with a mirror and got lost in the shuffle. Then finally
right.
the Lex
That's
Express.
Point number one. All right,
point number two, then.
Point number two, his age. His age at the time. He was 35.
Okay, maybe he wasn't that old when he came in. Was he?
Yeah, when he came into WWF, yes.
No. He's only 55 now. You're talking 30 years ago, he would have been 25.
He came into WWF in 1993, 20 years ago.
What year?
1993.
93? Okay, it seemed like it was longer than that.
20
All right,
years
so 20
ago.
Years ago. Huh.
And so he's 35. He was 35 during this.
All right.
And so at 35, if you're just coming in to a company at 35, you're not exactly, unless, you know, he did have the advantage of having the big name beforehand. But
this is gonna get squished by one thing, and that's the Ric Flair syndrome. I mean, Flair was probably easily in his 40s when he came to the WWF. But then again, he came in and immediately was in the main event scene because he's Ric Flair. And I understand there's a huge difference between Nature Boy Ric Flair and Lex Luger. All right, let's get back to Lex Express, because obviously he did get his shot, Sean. What happened? Point
and
three.
The promos. This point number three. Got to be able to cut promos. And I'm sorry, but this comes back to the thing of him being 35 at the time. A 35-year-old man's voice should not crack like a little schoolgirl. Especially a big, muscular beast of a man like Luger. His voice cracked like a little schoolgirl. Can't take a guy seriously with that.
Larry Fole, if you're listening to this program, his name is Sean Blitz Forrester. He lives in southern Mississippi. I'll continue, Sean. I'm sorry.
Yes. And you can come get me for that.
That's right.
But the main thing is, as the Lex Express, it was almost like it was a replacement for Hulk Hogan.
And you think people were done with Hogan at that time, and they certainly weren't going to take a Hogan part two.
Right. There's just,
sometimes
you just not catch lightning in a bottle.
At least not more than once.
Right.
So the Lex Luger promo has left a lot to be desired. He's touring around the country with his Lex Express bus, trying to greet people and yada, yada, yada. And then he got on that ship against Yokozuna.
And that already wasn't... Let's be honest, Yokozuna is not exactly the most ideal of opponents.
Well, you got to understand they were bringing it up as the all-American boy against this Japanese behemoth type thing, almost like the underdog against the big dog on the other side of the road type thing. You know, you got your 600-pound Yokozuna against your all-American boy.
It was a whole
my take. I guess my take is this was old deal by then. People were tired of that.
Exactly.
You know, goody boy face thing against the evil foreigner kind of.
Exactly.
Person,
the whole,
you know?
The whole all-American boy thing failed. Look what happened when Bob Backlund came back.
Right.
Tried to be the good, the clean-cut American boy, and the crowd booed him.
And then he snapped.
Exactly.
All right, that's a valid point, then.
So, all in all, Luger was just wrong, for me anyway, was wrong place at the wrong time. That was also about the time McMahon was in trouble with the whole steroids kick.
Correct.
And taking...
You think... Now, hold on. That brings me to another point, John. That brings me to another thought. Do you think that is something that could have possibly kept Lex Luger from rising to the top? Because that those accusations have always been there.
And promote...
You think they're trying to keep somebody who is possibly using away from the main... You know, away from the main belt just because of that fact? Because McMahon knew the Federation was in a little bit of heat?
I definitely think so. Because you look at someone like, because McMahon liked the big guys. And why did he put the belt on Diesel, on Kevin Nash? He was big, for one. He was muscular, but he was natural. It looked natural. Someone like Lex Luger, that doesn't look natural.
Why? I totally disagree with that. Lex Luger, maybe he wasn't 7 foot tall, but gosh, the guy was ripped. I mean, the guy, and I'm not trying to exaggerate things. Back in the 80s, there were, I can remember two independent, almost three independent runs where you would hear about these guys almost on a mythical level, and you wanted to see them, and you wanted to hear about them, and read more about them in the PWI magazine, blah, 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 and its sister publications, and you wanted to read and see and get as much info as you could about these guys, because they were creating a buzz. It was an underground buzz. You know how, like, your favorite bands, you know, you get an underground band, and you watch them just start creating a buzz, and they break out into superstar status, and then all of a sudden nobody cares anymore.
Right.
It was kind of almost like that. The Road Warriors were definitely one of those teams. I mean, they were making waves down in Georgia, and you could feel the waves from wherever you were at. Bam Bam Bigelow was almost like that, too. He had that rumbling going on underneath, too, but so did Lex Luger. You would hear about Lex Luger in the smaller NWA belt, and you're wondering when he was going to come up and go after Flair.
Agreed.
But what happened? Luger changed face and heel so many times. Even when he did get to the NWA /WCW, it's almost like you didn't know whether to root for the guy or
hate him.
Or whether you thought, I'm not going to get too close to him because he's going to jump Sting any day now, you know?
Exactly. And the last run in WCW did the same thing.
At least he made a big splash by showing up on that Nitro unannounced. That kind of caught everything off guard. Started Nitro off on about the most perfect way you can. You got a big name showing up from the past, giving that show a boost immediately and a sense of excitement and a sense of danger. I mean, I popped for it. I mean, I saw Luger's back, yes, you know, that kind of thing. But it still ended up.
And here I was in the corner cheering for Jushin Liger and Brian Pillman.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Little 7-year-old Blitz.
So what could they have done? Sean, we're running out of time. We've got about 3.5 minutes left. If you were... No, stop. Stop, stop, stop. If you were VKM, okay? If you were Vince McMahon and you were running the WWF during that time, what would you have done differently with Lex Luger? Would you have even, knowing what you know about the wrestling business, keeping personal opinions aside, knowing you're in it to make money, okay? You're the head of the most powerful federation on the planet. Lex Luger, you just signed him to a contract. What would you do with the man?
One, I'd stick him as Lex Luger. That's the name. That's the name the fans know.
But Vince didn't own that name. That's the problem. But continue, please.
See, that's the thing. Vince should have either gotten or used a name, brand him, not as a narcissist, but as a name that would be highly recognizable, but as Vince's name.
Number two.
All right. Number two, not straight to the world title.
He didn't go straight to the world title. He lumbered around in his narcissistic society for a year or so. It's not like he immediately went there.
I wouldn't have even done the narcissist thing.
Would you have taken him straight to the world? So you would have taken him straight to the world title, like Flair did?
No,
I
would not. I would build him as a wrestler. Let him go into the mid card. First, go to the mid card. By that time, the Intercontinental title was still worth something. Use the Intercontinental title to build Luger as the future face of the Federation.
So you would have brought him in as a face and never even had him as a heel. The thing I see with the whole narcissist thing is that they put him with Heenan maybe for a reason. Luger's never been the greatest talker in the world. I don't think he's as horrible as, I mean, he can shrill at times, but I don't think he's as terrible as you're making him out to be. But putting him with Bobby Heenan, you think that was maybe an effort to get him over better, but as a heel, it wasn't going to happen. Sean, we got 30 seconds left. Wrap this thing up, buddy.
That's what I'm saying. You can have a heel face of the promotion. Have him as that top heel.
That it?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
I would have pushed him as a high heel.
That's going to be about it for Pro Wrestling Obsession Live. We'll talk to everybody not next week. May the 3rd will be our first official show. So please check us out. Like I said, we have the Irish Airborne coming on. We have 2 hours, and we're going to be talking wrestling, I promise. Thanks for checking in. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.